Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a new year, live right here on a Thursday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, all across the Sports Grid network as well. That never changes, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together to kick off 2025 on the second day of this new year, but our first edition of the Early Line. DRS, a very happy new year to you. 3 hours to ring in a new year with a ton of college football playoff action to recap and even to preview, as we will detail with the postponement of the Sugar Bowl to this afternoon in New Orleans. We'll go around the National Football League as well. We're just a few days away, two in fact, for the start of the regular season finale in week number 18 around the National Football League. All of the clinching and seeding scenarios that you need to know for this final weekend of the regular season. Some NBA action in the fold as well. A lot to get to here on our first day of 2025, live on the Early Line.
Football bonanza is what we like to call it. We saw action yesterday. We're going to get more action today. And week 18 sets up as, even if you're looking at most of the games that technically don't really count, you can still make some money with great handicaps and getting that information that coaches will not share with you in weeks 1 through 17. But week 18 is special. Who's playing, who's sitting, and also, more importantly, why players are sitting, why they should be sitting, and why there are a few rockhead coaches that just don't understand that concept.
I cannot wait for DRS's takes on a couple of players near him that might be sitting out on Sunday and not hunting down history any longer. But DRS, we start with some tragic news. In the early morning hours of New Year's Day in New Orleans, a terror attack, a driver plowing through a crowd in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street that, as of the latest reports, has left 15 people dead and more than 36 injured because of that tragic and devastating scene in New Orleans. Yesterday's Sugar Bowl, which was scheduled to kick at 8:45 p.m. Eastern time, the nightcap of a triple header on New Year's Day in the college football playoff between Notre Dame and Georgia, was postponed and will be played at 4 p.m. Eastern on this Thursday afternoon, January 2nd. The postponement until today. Georgia and Notre Dame set to kick off in the Big Easy inside the Superdome at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, we expect a great football team, but this had to be done. There was no way that game was going to be played as scheduled last night with so much mayhem going on in the city and, quite frankly, not understanding all of the details here. And a lot of people are upset about the move to today and say, why is it being played earlier? Understand this. These kids have been ready to play a football game for basically 2 weeks here. They were on lockdown in their hotel, and the teams, not the television networks, came together and said, we can't keep these kids around all day tomorrow. And also, what about the safety of the fans? It's a lot easier for the safety to unfold under the sun as opposed to when the sun goes down. Get the crowds in, get the crowds out. Hopefully have a clean environment tonight where we can take our minds off this tragedy and watch a good football game. But for everybody out there that's upset about this game being played earlier, it had to be done for safety reasons, and it was the right move to be done. And hopefully we can take our minds off those tragedies, enjoy a football game for a couple hours today.
Sports can provide that reprieve. Sports can provide that escape. And for a community in New Orleans that sadly knows tragedy all too well, we hope that today's college football playoff game, a celebration of the sport between two standard bearers in college football, Georgia and Notre Dame, can help a community that is reeling. Our thoughts, our love, all of our condolences to everybody affected by this tragedy in New Orleans. Again, the Sugar Bowl now scheduled for 4 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon in New Orleans between Georgia and Notre Dame. And one final point, DRS, just scheduling, logistics, of course, safety and the precautions necessary were paramount yesterday, and understandably so. But the winner of today's game between the Dogs and the Irish are going to play exactly 1 week from right now against Penn State in Miami in the Orange Bowl. It's the first of two semifinal games that we have in the college football playoff, and the Nittany Lions played on New Year's Eve. You didn't want the rest advantage to be too heavily skewed to Penn State. The rest of the college football playoff are two games yesterday. In DRS, the best we have seen so far in the 12-team era, with the largest spread that we had seen out of any of the six games. Texas and Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. The Longhorns up by 16, 24-8 midway through the fourth quarter in ASU, and Donnie's favorite running back, Cam Scataboo, stormed back to force overtime. They took a lead in OT. Texas answered on 4th and 13, and the Longhorns scored first in the second overtime and intercepted Sam Levitt on Arizona State's chance to answer. Texas prevails in the college football playoff quarterfinal 39-31 to advance to the semifinal. However, the Sun Devils do cover as a 13.5-point underdog.
Absolutely fantastic football game. This is why we love college football. And you might say, oh, there's a lot of blowouts, but you can have 75 blowouts. Give me one of these type football games where you have evidence on both sides that these teams came to play. It looked like a blow-up in the first quarter, which turned into a closer game in the second half. Cam Scataboo, who, if you didn't watch him, which again, most people, including myself, haven't watched a lot of Arizona State football from start to finish, in the biggest games against some of the best defenses, he was absolutely sensational. And I found myself rooting at the end of the game, when I didn't have a winner or loser in this game, to say, I need this kid one more week because I want to bet on this kid again here. So fantastic game. It's a shame somebody had to lose, but it's college football in its best form. Yesterday is what we saw.
So many more reactions from the Peach Bowl in Atlanta in just a moment, but we were all scared that we would see yet another blowout because ASU, the champions of the Big 12, earned that automatic bid in opening round bye. The game we did not expect to ever see a blowout, the rematch in the Rose Bowl between Oregon and Ohio State, and it was over immediately. All Buckeyes in Pasadena, a 34-zip lead by the time we got to the near end of the second quarter, and Ohio State exacts its revenge against Oregon, 41-21. The Buckeyes cover as a 2.5-point favorite.
The funny thing is, if you just saw that graphic pop up on your screen, the number one seed versus the 8th seed, and say, boy, what a major upset that was. I can't believe it happened. To me, these were the two best teams in the college football playoff already playing against each other, because seeding is kind of quirky at this time. But let's just give it to Ohio State. They were an NFL team yesterday against Oregon, who might have been the best overall team throughout the entirety of this season. Not yesterday. In a one-game playoff, boy, it was Ohio State fast, early, and often. Boy, they were good.
The Ducks were the only undefeated 13-0 FBS program this year. Their first loss in their final game of the season. The opening game in the quarterfinal round in the college football playoff on New Year's Eve. Penn State handles Boise State in that Fiesta Bowl 31-14. The Nittany Lions cover as an 11.5-point favorite.
It was expected. Penn State was supposed to win this football game and move on. I was just hoping that we might get that explosive effort by Ashton Ginty to sort of say, you know what, 175 yards, 185 yards, keep them in the game. And we might have a little bit of a bone to pick a little bit later in the show about running the hurry up with 3.5 minutes to go to make sure your running back gets more yardage. Come on now. That's not why we play the sport, people.
We'll talk about it because you do chase history. Former Penn Stater Saquon Barkley will not on Sunday. Donnie's thoughts on that later. Some basketball news. The Knicks win 9 straight. The Cavs have won 8 straight. And Bryce James, LeBron's youngest son, committed to Arizona yesterday. That's how you get through a 7-7 to start a new year. Plenty more on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new year, live right here in 2025 on the early line on Sports Grid. And on New Year's Day, significant college football games will always be played, as it should be. Yesterday, we had a scheduled triple header in the college football playoff. But in the early morning hours of New Year's Day in New Orleans, a terrorist attack that has left 15 people dead and more than 35 other injured. A devastating and tragic situation in the Big Easy that led to local authorities in conjunction with Sugar Bowl personnel in both of the teams that are playing in the college football playoff in New Orleans, that being Georgia and Notre Dame, to have to answer some questions yesterday. Ultimately, the decision was made, in my estimation, and I know Donnie believes the same, the correct one. Safety and precaution, that was paramount and necessary. So last night, Sugar Bowl, originally scheduled to be the nightcap of 3 games on New Year's Day in the college football playoff quarterfinal round, scheduled to kick at 8:45 p.m. Eastern time on January 1st, has been postponed until this afternoon, January 2nd. Kickoff in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl between Georgia and Notre Dame is set for 4 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, had to be done. It's the right move from yesterday. And also, understand this. It is a shame. Like, you're getting New Orleans is a big party city. We understand that. They're going to have the Super Bowl. They have the Sugar Bowl, which national implications. You have 2 big fan bases there. It's New Year's Eve and it all comes together. Like, where are the iconic places been on New Year's Eve that we see, right? Las Vegas, New York City, Times Square, and probably Bourbon Street in New Orleans. So the tragedy really hitting home. It's something that this country takes pride in. Celebrate the new year. You know, you're out with your family and friends. You're having a good time. You're wishing each other well, and you're looking forward to a new start in the new year to maybe better yourself here. And that happens because all you were doing was trying to enjoy the night, watch a football game, and just get on with your life. And this tragedy happens, and we have to talk about it, which is a shame. But there is a college football game to be played, and I think college football handled this appropriately. Took both of the teams and said, you know what, competitive disadvantages, we want to try to limit those. We want the fans to have a good experience, but we want them to have a safe experience. The best way to do it, those crowds are going to travel to the Superdome probably early in the afternoon, Ben, 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, in the light, so you can see everything. Security will be as tight as you can be, able to sweep the Superdome to make sure there's no, you know, funny things going on there either. So I completely applaud college football for taking a tragedy and saying, oh, we still have to make the best of this. And the safest part of this to happen was to have this in the afternoon today. And hopefully it goes off without a hitch. We have a great football game and we can start to move on and heal at this point.
And DRS, I think that's really well said from many different components. Logistically, for local authorities and even national authorities that are dealing with a terror attack and its aftermath, the scene yesterday was still incredibly scary and unfortunate throughout all of New Orleans. You are doing those safety sweeps. You are trying to figure out what exactly the scenario is and if there is any imminent danger that is still present. All of that needs to take paramount importance over anything that is even a football game. So the city of New Orleans and everybody involved did just that. There is also the reverence for a community that has now taken yet another blow in the families, in the loved ones, in the friends of 15 people that have lost their lives in a terror attack, in the more than 36 that have been left seriously injured by this unfortunate and tragic event. So now, as we get ready for a football game in New Orleans on this Thursday afternoon, the second day of 2025, one of the beautiful things about sports, and my favorite sport being college football, is I believe the passion and the experience provides the true essence of what sport is, an escape and something to get lost in. And so I hope the Sugar Bowl today between Georgia and Notre Dame provides that not only for these schools, these organizations, the sport of college football as a whole, but hopefully the community in New Orleans as well. Again, we send all of our love, our thoughts, our prayers, our condolences to the community at large in New Orleans and anybody affected by this terror attack. DRS, now we get ready for a Sugar Bowl and a college football playoff game today between the 2-seed Georgia and the 7-seed Notre Dame. Again, set to kick at 4 p.m. Eastern time. As you will see there, from the odds perspective, we have seen a lot of changing markets in the last 48 hours. At the initial open, the Irish were a slight favorite, but almost immediately the line worked to the Bulldogs, looking for their third national championship in the last four college football seasons. Entering most of this week, the line was at 2.5 in favor of Georgia. Yesterday, Georgia was a slight favorite, if not a pick, and now you will see Notre Dame. Although it's just 3 cents, Notre Dame is the favorite to win the Sugar Bowl and advance to the college football playoff semifinal, a matchup against Penn State a week from today in Miami at the Orange Bowl.
When your starting quarterback is down, it's amazing that Georgia actually is still within a 1.5-point margin of Notre Dame. Think about that in the NFL when a good starting quarterback goes down on a good football team, how much that changes the implications. And Notre Dame's a really good team on the opposite side. I'm expecting a pretty good effort. And you do see that total, right? 44.5 now to 45.5. It's still in a dome, so you should get a clean atmosphere. But you know these two defenses are going to come to play. I don't think there's going to be any high-flying optics on offense, which you might get if you had Carson Beck. Now, he hasn't even had the season we thought he would have. Coming into the season, maybe a Heisman Trophy finalist is what we anticipated with a fantastic defense and a lot of weapons. That hasn't been the case. And even when you saw the second half, like, hey, Stockton came in the last game to save Georgia. What, 50, 60, 70 yards passing and interception? It wasn't like he lit it up with three touchdown passes and was amazing here. Now, also, this isn't the little engine that could here for Georgia and their quarterback. It's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of Georgia football coming to play. Million touchdown passes, million rushing touchdowns here. You see all the pageantry coming through with some of these, you know, shows that open up, including our CFT guys here. This kid has a lot of talent. We just haven't seen it yet, but this is a massive stage to try to prove it on. So I won't be surprised if he does struggle a little bit, even early on.
And Notre Dame is the third best scoring and passing defense in all of FBS college football. Gunnar Stockton, the sophomore from Tiger, Georgia, makes his first career start for his home state school in UGA. Kirby Smart has full belief in his new signal caller. But Gunnar Stockton making that first start against Notre Dame is the biggest question, not just for the Sugar Bowl, but potentially the remainder of the college football playoff. The other games from New Year's Day, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A New Year's Day tradition in Pasadena, California, under the San Gabriel Mountains. The Rose Bowl, often a Big Ten and Pac-12 matchup in the history of this storied bowl game, and at least on paper, it's what it appeared to be yesterday between Oregon and Ohio State, but now, of course, two conference foes who faced off for the first time back in early October inside Autzen Stadium. It was one of the games of the year in 2024 in college football, just a single point separated these two teams. Only a 2.5-point spread separated the two schools entering the college football playoff quarterfinal yesterday afternoon. So we expected a game that would live up to the billing once more. But on the first day of 2025, in the second game of the year between the Buckeyes and the Ducks, it was all Ohio State from the very start. 41-21. Ohio State prevails in the Rose Bowl and earns a spot in the college football playoff semifinal. The Buckeyes easily cover DRS as that 2.5-point favorite. A total of 55 and a hook, skies over. Ohio State scored 42 against Tennessee in the opening round in Columbus. They scored 41 last night against Oregon. They have outscored their two teams, their two foes in the college football playoff by more than 40 points. Ohio State, since the loss to Michigan, has been a wagon in the college football playoff.
They absolutely have. And here's the problem we have with this. Like, the best pomp and pageantry does come from the Rose Bowl. But the Rose Bowl thinks of itself a little bit too high and mighty at times. The reason why I'm saying this is, you see my affinity for the Rose Bowl itself, Ben. Like, I even tweeted out yesterday, like, I truly believe every Super Bowl and every national championship game in college football should be played at the Rose Bowl, because the environment is just college football perfection. Now, anybody that's been there tells me the stadium is horrible. It's impossible to get in and out. It's not so great at that point. But for a TV perspective and the mountains in the back, around the big games, it's fun. Now let's get this out of the way. I don't think very many people were able to enjoy that game. If you're in the stands, yes, you did. If you're a Buckeyes fan, yep. If you had any tickets on the game that cashed, it was great. But we were watching an all-time game between Texas and Arizona State that the Rose Bowl was like, we're so important, we're still going to go on as planned, as opposed to delay it 15 minutes. And the reason I bring that up is, Ben, by the time that we finally saw that last interception in the Arizona State-Texas game, the game was basically already over for Ohio State, up 7-0 and driving again with the football. So we couldn't even enjoy, like, okay, this game is over. Let me flip the Rose Bowl on. Let me get 25 minutes of the pomp and the circumstance and the cameras and the drones and the beauty of the stadium itself, and then sink into a football game. By the time I got there, it's like, oh, it's 7-0 already. They scored in 1 minute here. What did I miss? We didn't miss anything. It was a blowout. But the game itself showed how talented Ohio State is and how crazy. Like, we talk about the terms, Ben, like any given Sunday in the NFL. It's the same in college football. Like, Michigan browbeating Ohio State for then Ohio State to go on and possibly winning a national championship is crazy work. And Oregon, who already beat them this year at home, now returns and goes, you know what? We weren't even close to them. How the heck do we even beat them in game number one? This looks like a completely different Ohio State game. Because why? Will Howard was aggressive and the play calling was aggressive. 319 and 3 touchdowns out of him. And you go, well, the running game probably didn't do much. 31 for 181, 6 yards per carry roughly, and 2 touchdowns. They were fantastic yesterday, Ben.
In every single facet, Ohio State was the better football team on January 1st, 2025. Back on October 12th in 2024, it was Oregon's day. College football is a unique sport played in large part by 18 to 22-year-olds. Oftentimes, it can be a little bit wonky. That is what we saw. DRS, to your point about the scheduling of the Peach Bowl going into overtime and the start of the Rose Bowl on ESPN2 and missing all the pomp and circumstance leading up to the game, Ohio State looks like they could be undefeated. We've heard a lot about hypothetical SEC teams and how great they are. They would never lose a football game. The sunset at the Rose Bowl is truly undefeated, because the sunset is necessary to truly capture the beauty and the pageantry of the Rose Bowl as well. That's why it stayed at its scheduled start time, despite an overtime thriller in our first of two college football playoff games yesterday between Texas and Arizona State. But to Donnie's point, by the time everybody flipped over to Pasadena, it was done. Ohio State scored on 6 of its 7 first half possessions, 4 touchdowns, 2 field goals. Oregon scored on its final possession of the opening half in the final seconds of that second quarter. It was 34-8 at the break. Oregon had a little bit of life scoring on its first second half possession, but that's really as close as it got. What it means for Ohio State and the rest of the college football playoff, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two games on New Year's Day in the college football playoff, with the rescheduled Sugar Bowl in New Orleans kicking at 4 p.m. Eastern time on this Thursday afternoon. Yesterday afternoon at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, Ohio State triumphant, winning by 20, 41-21 against Oregon. The Buckeyes cover and exact some revenge against the Ducks as a 2.5-point favorite. DRS, you mentioned it. The offense that we have seen out of Ohio State is unlike we had seen out of the Bucks and Chip Kelly for most of this entire season. You see the numbers yesterday. Ohio State scored 42 in the opening round at the Shoe against Tennessee. The Volunteers entered that game as a top 5 scoring defense in college football. Stood no match for Ohio State's offense on that first day of the college football playoff, technically the second. yesterday, Ohio State, against an Oregon defense that at times this year had been stout, but actually really did struggle against three college football playoff opponents the Ducks had previously seen, including Ohio State the first time, was not great defensively. 34 points scored by the Buckeyes in the opening half. They could have had more if necessary in the second. They didn't really need it. But when you talk about what Ohio State did yesterday against Oregon, it starts at the quarterback position. Will Howard efficient and elite once again? 17 of 26, 319 yards, three touchdowns. But who was the biggest beneficiary of that? And maybe the reason Will Howard put up such large numbers? The true freshman wide receiver that if he was draft eligible this year, he would be the first overall pick. That's Jeremiah Smith. 7 grabs on 10 targets, 187 yards, and 2 touchdowns against that Oregon secondary in the Rose Bowl that often looked lost defensively yesterday, DRS, trying to cover Smith and the rest of Ohio State's offensive pieces.
I mean, they are so talented on offense. And by the way, just a quick side piece on business. Jeremiah Smith, I know a lot of Ohio State fans will hate this. Put yourself in the portal. How much money are you going to make next year? Go up for bid. Even if you do go back to Ohio State, let's just say Ohio State has a sweet deal ready for you. Go out there and test that market. We'll see if teams are ready at $4 million, $5 million, $6 million, $7 million to grab you. Maybe you go to Indiana for $7 million bucks, and I would love to see that. But he'll probably be back with Ohio State, and rightfully so. But you're right. This kid is ready-made for the NFL and absolutely physically dominant like he's been the entire season. But when you have so many things clicking in the right direction, what does Ohio State not do? Now, we saw down the stretch a lot of injuries to their offensive line. Didn't really show up yesterday against Oregon, is a pretty formidable defense, but you have legitimate wide receivers across the board, a big time tight end, 2 running backs that are as good as any running backs in college football, and you have them on the same team, and Will Howard finally showing up going, you know what, let me be the aggressor. I mean, you know a lot about a kid that transferred to Syracuse over the past couple weeks here. Let me show you my worth here to the Ohio State University, and he did show that. If this is the version we're going to get for Ohio State the rest of the way through the college football playoff, good luck trying to chase them down, because the one thing we do know is if you have balance, it's very good. But when you have first-round draft picks all across the board with balance that way, and we're not even talking about the defense and the pressure from that front seven that was collapsing one of the best offenses in football left and right. We have to remember, yes, we see 41-21. It wasn't even that close. 34-0 with seconds to go before the half. And you're right, Ben. If Ohio State said, you know what, this is the national championship game, they might have hung 70 on Oregon because they wouldn't be worried about injuries or whatever the heck is going to take place over the next 2 to 3 weeks at this point. They were that impressive in the Rose Bowl.
And Ohio State's defense, up front especially, despite all the talent they have with Jack Sawyer and Tyleek Smith and other guys like JT Tuimoloau, they have struggled to get pressure on quarterbacks this year. 0 sacks against Dylan Gabriel at Oregon in the opening game in Eugene. 8 yesterday. The Ducks had allowed 7 sacks against Idaho and Boise State in their first 2 games of the season. Just 6 in their next 11 entering yesterday's Rose Bowl. 8 by Ohio State yesterday in a run game that could not do much, especially after the injury to Jordan James for the Ducks early in that opening half. But all Ohio State, who against Power Conference competition DRS in the regular season, that's 9 games, scored more than 40 points once against Purdue, who was winless against FBS foes this year. Ohio State has scored 41 plus in each of its 2 college football playoff games. Will Howard has thrown for 260 yards or more 4 times, including both games against Oregon and both games in the college football playoff. This is the version of Ohio State we expected to see all season long. It is the version we get now, 2 wins away from cashing a ticket that currently has the Buckeyes booked as the favorites to win a national championship, a ticket I have in my pocket that was bet back in early October. So Ohio State advances to the Cotton Bowl a week from tomorrow night, of course, in Dallas, Texas. Who will the Buckeyes play? That is the in-state team in Texas, but it was not an easy college football playoff quarterfinal matchup in the Peach Bowl for the Longhorns, as the odds expected. Texas was the largest favorite of the opening round DRS at home in Austin against Clemson. They won by 14. They cover as a 13.5-point favorite. A 13.5-point spread yesterday in Atlanta as well that saw a game go to double overtime. But eventually, Texas outlasts ASU 39-31. The Sun Devils cover as a 13.5-point underdog. Total of 52 and a hook does sky over. DRS, this is our only game of the six college football playoff games we have now seen in the 12-team era decided by a single score. In ASU's comeback, down by 24-8 midway through the fourth quarter to even force an extra session, will be remembered in an instant classic yesterday in Atlanta.
Yes, and most people are going to talk about Cam Scadaboo, and rightfully so, throwing a long touchdown pass on a fourth down, which is an incredibly risky play call, which worked out and would be fantastic, and you're going to watch that play for years to come. Cam Scadaboo, 30 carries for 143, then adds and said, you know what, give me another 8 catches for 99 yards in a single game, and they lost. But also, a lot of things get covered up in this one. Texas out quickly here. Their first 3 touches of the football, they got 2 touchdowns. 2 plays on offense, 1 punt return. It's like, oh boy, Arizona State shouldn't be here. It's going to be a wrap. You know, thanks for coming, fans, and away Texas goes into the next round. But also, being covered up in this overtime, it's so much fun. Boy, you're going to rue the day, Arizona State, that you brought that zero blitz on fourth long when maybe you should have played a little bit different defense to try to hang around and give yourself some help over the top. But credit Quinn Ewers, because I was very critical throughout that entire football game. It looked like they were actually avoiding him stepping up in the big moment and trying to hang on for a victory. It's not something you're supposed to do in a playoff environment. He was really good down the stretch, made the throws when he needed to, and wound up with 322 yards and 3 touchdowns because he threw a couple in overtime. As the pressure mounted, he got better, which was good to see for Texas moving forward. But boy, oh boy, Arizona State, I think everybody watching that game, again, if you weren't a Longhorns fan or had a ticket on the Longhorns, you wanted one more round with Arizona State because of how much fun that football team looks like it was going to be.
And what a year it was for ASU that we'll reflect on in just a moment. But when Quinn Ewers scrambled into the end zone, the Longhorns had a 24-8 lead with just over 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Arizona State got the football back, and on fourth and two, Mr. Do-It-All, your favorite running back's favorite running back, Cam Scadaboo, a 42-yard passing touchdown to bring the Sun Devils back, but still a long way to go. It was the only blip, really, yesterday, DRS, for Quinn Ewers. Ensuing Longhorns possession, Quinn throws a pick. 3 plays, 79 yards later, including a 62-yard pass to Cam Scadaboo. Arizona State tied the football game. A 2-yard rushing touchdown out of Scadaboo, and he also converted on the 2-point conversion. Then, one of the best college kickers in the country, in Bert Auburn, missed 2 field goals in the final minute and 48 seconds from 48 yards out. And then as time expired and clanking off the left upright from 38 yards away to force overtime. What happened in overtime, what it means for both Arizona State and Texas, and of course, the Longhorns advancing to the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State. All of that next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes an instant classic in college football, now in the 12-team era of the college football playoff, also comes with a little bit of controversy. DRS, we talked about the end of regulation yesterday in Atlanta in the Peach Bowl between Texas and Arizona State. ASU got the football back after Bert Auburn's first missed field goal that would have given Texas the lead in a game now tied at 24-all and was trying to drive down the field. Near midfield, there was a pass that was incomplete, intended from ASU's quarterback Sam Levitt to one of his top wide receivers now in Melquan Stovall, and he was absolutely shellacked by Texas's linebacker Taffy on the other side, and it seemed as though it was targeting. It went to the booth for a review. It was ultimately determined the play did not result in targeting. Targeting is my least favorite rule in all of football, collegiately or in the National Football League, because of how subjective it is in each and every individual scenario. But there are some times when targeting looks like targeting. If a duck is quacking, then yeah, it is probably a duck. It was not ruled targeting yesterday between ASU and the Longhorns. Because of it, Texas got the football back, still unable to win in regulation. Ultimately, they did win in double overtime, 39-31.
Yes, and it was a big decision in that game, which actually could have tilted in Arizona State's favor, and they could have won that football game. But, like, I don't like the targeting rule per se. Like, growing up, again, you're not going to have football like I had in the 80s and 90s growing up and playing, where it's like, hey, you know what? Great hit. Crown of the helmet, blow the guy up, give him CTE later in life. You just get celebrated for that. Nobody gets celebrated for that anymore, and it should be removed from the game. It's always see what you hit. And that's exactly what the Texas player did. It was just a football play that happened. But under the rules of that football play, Ben, it should have been a penalty. Nobody wants to see big-time games, you know, enter into like, oh, man, if they just would have had that play not go the direction, or, boy, that was a questionable call, or I didn't see that at all, or a holding penalty that could be subjective. That should have been called targeting as it was, and it wasn't. Now, we're going to get angry about that, and it could have ruined the big-time football game, but sometimes you just have to go by the letter of the law. Once they announced that they were going to take that into replay, we all saw the replays, and even whoever was calling the game, I forget about the, you know, officiating there, is like, look, that's targeting at this point. And the fact that they didn't call it targeting was very upsetting to some people, and rightfully so. It's one of those decisions, Ben, for me, it was 50-50. I don't think I would have been happy either way it was called, but in no way, shape, or form, when they took it away, was I really upset about the call. That's ridiculous. The letter of the law, it should have been called, but it was one of those plays that I thought was pretty clean, and no matter what way they called it, I was okay to live with it.
It leaves the idea of opportunity in the what if. Had that been called, Arizona State was not far from field goal territory to maybe win it in regulation. But ASU still had its opportunity in overtime. In fact, the Sun Devils scored first in the opening overtime session. Who else but Cam Scataboo? And then on 4th and 13, Texas down to what could have been its final play of the season. Arizona State brings pressure. Quinn Ewers recognizes it. And from the 28-yard line on 4th and 13, connects with Matthew Golden in the back of the end zone for the game time. A touchdown, which forces a second overtime. Texas got the football first. 25-yard strike instantly to Gunnar Helm. Texas is tight end. A two-point conversion, which you must do in the second overtime, to Matthew Golden. And then Sam Levitt trying to make a play. Intercepted, on the ensuing ASU opportunity in OT. To your point, DRS, a costly interception thrown in the fourth quarter by Quinn Ewers, but outside of that, pretty darn good yesterday. 322 yards, 4 total touchdowns. There's been a lot of questions about Quinn Ewers, his future in Austin, his future in college football, even his present, if he is the best quarterback for this Texas team right now with Arch Manning laying in the wings. But yesterday, he made the plays necessary for Arizona State. Led this year by one of the best running backs in the country in Cam Scataboo, who made a point entering the week to say, listen, I am one of the best players in college football. If you talk, you got to walk. Cam Scataboo ran yesterday, 30 carries, 143 yards. ASU's leading receiver with both 8 grabs and 99 receiving yards, and threw a touchdown, a strike from 42 yards out. Donnie, when you look at the box score, it's not just Cam Scataboo, but the Sun Devils as a whole. Sparky had 135 more yards than Texas, 12 more first downs, ran 37 more plays, had more than 15 more minutes of time of possession. But it was Texas at the end of the day that made plays when it mattered most to survive in advance, which is what you have to do now in the 12-team era of the college football playoff, to win the Peach Bowl, advance to the Orange Bowl, where they will take on Ohio State on Friday night, not tomorrow, next week in Miami. Or Cotton Bowl, excuse me, where these two teams will play.
Yeah. Going to be so much fun to watch it play out at that point, but also understanding the greatness of Cam Scataboo. Like, he saw like the highlights of him in high school. It reminds me a lot of like Debo Samuel when they would show his clips at South Carolina coming into the pros. Like, is that going to translate? And Debo Samuel is a wonderful wide receiver and still is at this point, maybe more on the back end. But just talking about the ability to stay up, it's not just like I want, like, I'm just not going to let other guys tackle me. You have to have an unbelievable skill set, because it's one thing to say, I'm going to juke a, you know, 175-pound defensive back. It's a another when I'm going to run into a 350-pound defensive lineman, and it's not even going to affect me. I'm going to spin out of that and still be able to make plays. And then throwing up multiple times in the game. And then my favorite part of the game was not rushing, was not receiving, was not passing. But I wanted to see like Cam Scataboo Cam, where he comes over to the sideline, takes a knee in front of the camera, and tells you legitimately what he's going to do on the next series and why you should believe him in that happening. We should have had a mic'd up moment there, but I think everybody's just trying to lip read at this point. Like, we need more of this guy. And by the way, he showed a picture of him and his dad in the stands after the game where his dad was like, you know what? So proud of my son. Clones up there. I mean, but like, he is a clone of his father. And boy, how proud of a dad you have to be for your son on display in that game as a team that wasn't supposed to get close to this game during the, at the beginning of the season, to how your son finished the season. Couldn't be any prouder as a pop right there. That's awesome.
Leo Scataboo, very proud of his son, Cam, who, like all good Arizona State students, understands the benefit of a puke and rally as he did in the highest level of the sport. Yesterday, what a season it was for Kenny Dillingham, who is the future of this Arizona State football program, a graduate of ASU. 3 wins in his first year, 11 wins in a college football playoff appearance in year two. More from the CFP next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to sing the praises of Cam Scataboo and Kenny Dillingham and the successful season for the Sun Devils of Arizona State, picked dead last, by the way, in the preseason media poll in the Big 12, to only win the conference in its first year in the league and play in the college football playoff. A bright future ahead in Tempe. A contract extension in the lead up to the Peach Bowl, by the way, for the native son of Arizona and the ASU grad in Kenny Dillingham. That is a wonderful thing. However, Texas did win the football game, even if it wasn't picture perfect. The Longhorns now will play Ohio State next Friday night, back in their home state at Jerry World in Dallas. It'll be Texas and Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State opened as a 4.5-point favorite. It is now 5.5, and in some other spots, nearing close to a touchdown. Donnie, entering the college football playoff quarterfinal round in the projected hypothetical matchup of the Buckeyes and the Longhorns, Ohio State was a slight favorite, and I mean slight, 0.5 in the spread, 11 cents of difference, minus 115 to minus 104 on the money line, with Ohio State's impressive performances throughout the college football playoff in Texas maybe escaping with a win yesterday. That's now a 5.5-point spread for next Friday night in the Cotton Bowl. Let's talk about who is going to play in the Orange Bowl. We know one spot. That's Penn State, who awaits the winner of today's Sugar Bowl between Georgia and Notre Dame. It was the first game of the quarters on New Year's Eve night out in the Fiesta Bowl in the desert in Glendale, Arizona. And although it was only a field goal game midway through the third quarter, Penn State did answer on the ensuing offensive possession. Drew Aller to Tyler Warren for the second time of the game. Nick Singleton iced it with a 58-yard touchdown run early in the fourth. And Penn State did what we expected the Nittany Lions to do. Win and comfortably do so as an 11.5-point favorite in the Fiesta Bowl against Boise State. 31-14, the victory for James Franklin and company. They cover DRS as an 11.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Penn State, as we always say, really good football team, specific against teams they're supposed to beat. First two rounds in the playoffs, supposed to beat teams, handle their pride, looked really good in doing it, and advancing and better all four. Drew Aller didn't have to do much. 13 of 25, buck 71, 3 touchdown passes, which was great, but it was apparent once this game started, you see the, you know, power four type environment, high level versus a group of five type team. We're not knocking Boise State. They had a fantastic season and quite certainly made this game a little bit closer than what we thought it was going to be, but the advantage changes that usually have been, not necessarily at the wide receiver position or the quarterback per se. It's always in the trenches. And Penn State was manhandling Boise State early. And quite frankly, if you saw this game play out, I wonder if Abdul Carter played this entire game. He would have just been wrecking that pocket each and every play throughout the second, third, and fourth quarter. But he went down, and that's an interesting injury to look forward to. But just focusing on this game, there are a couple things that really stood out. As we said, Penn State dominating on the defensive line and the offensive line, winning the football game expected. But they did bottle up Ashton Jeanty. He ends up going for over 100 yards, but 30 carries to do that. Only one explosive run that he had was for the 26 yards. Never really could get him going because it takes more than just a running back. You have to physically dominate the offensive line, which Boise State did in a lot of their football games. Couldn't do that against Penn State. But also, I know records are big and you want to get it in the flow of the game, but I just didn't like the way that game played out. And this is coming from a guy also with a ticket under 128.5 rushing yards, where I thought it was hilarious. 3.5 minutes to go, running no huddle. And Jeanty was puffing wind at that point and basically could barely stand up and just folding into the line of scrimmage where they were trying to see if he can bust on a long run, and he wasn't able to do it. Great season by Boise, but the whole record chase from Jeanty, come on now, that's always going to be Barry's record here, nonsense. So I think the good vibe stepped up for what's right in college football and kept him under 130 yards rushing.
Of course, it was also the chase for history for Ashton Jeanty, trying to catch Barry Sanders' record of 2,628 yards set back in 1988. Mind you, that record in only 11 games. If you add on the 12th that Barry played, it'd be 2,850. That's just my small component of it. But Ashton Jeanty, 30 carries, 104 yards in the Fiesta Bowl, comes up 27 yards shy of Barry Sanders' record. Uncharacteristically, he fumbled early in that game. Maddox Madsen threw three interceptions. Boise State missed two field goals early as well. Too much to overcome despite outgaining Penn State. In both Catron Allen and Nick Singleton on the other side, a big game for PSU running the football as well. 216 rushing yards for the Nittany Lions as a team. We'll talk more about the NFL when Hour 2 comes up next.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.